The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer devotional Bible. As a parent, you want to trust that your public school is being responsible with your children, especially if your children are of preschool age. There are things that are age appropriate in every subject that is taught, in math, in science, in history, in art. All these things are geared toward the age group. But what if you discovered that at your public school, your preschooler was being subjected to advocacy for the LGBTQ agenda, advocacy for transgenderism, and that you were not allowed to opt your child out? They say, it's not sex education, it's age appropriate. What do you do when that's the case? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about an Illinois school district that has responded to parental complaints about an LGBT school curriculum for preschoolers. Joy Pullman joins us. She's managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Six Crazy School District Responses to Parents Mad About LGBT Indoctrination of Preschoolers. Joy, welcome back.
Hi.
Give us a rundown briefly of the circumstances that led to these parents complaining in the suburban Chicago school district.
The Evanston-Skokie School District decided that they were going to celebrate basically National Coming Out Day on October 11th with an entire week of LGBT pride activities and lessons. And so over the summer, teachers got together and were paid extra to put together a curriculum to celebrate that week. And so I got, and through an open records request, I got a look at what the school district was teaching children that week. And that included, so I focused on the lessons that were aimed at kids who were ages 3 to 5. This is preschool and kindergarten age, just because I think that, you know, it's the information is clearest when you're seeing what they're focusing at kids who are nowhere near puberty, don't even hardly, you know the difference between boys and girls, you know, are just developing their whole concept about the world, can really, really can't possibly understand even what sex is. And so these lessons for the 3 to 5 year olds alone were teaching children the definitions of terms like gay and lesbian. They were telling children that they can also be transgender, like transgender teen celebrities. They were giving children picture books about transgenderism that included messages such as, you know, telling them that, you know, you're transgender if you feel like a boy in your head, but your body is a girl, or vice versa. Showed the kids, you know, videos that, you know, showed kids celebrating their different and equivocating, really, adoptive and biological families with gay, transgender, and even it appeared to be a polyamorous family. They didn't label it as that in the curriculum, but it was a little boy talking about his two mommies and his two daddies. So I'm not really sure what was going on there, but that was being shown to preschoolers, and they were being coached and told, you know, shown a picture of, you know, for example, a lesbian couple, and said, is this, you know, a family? And if the kids said no, or where's the daddy, the teachers were instructed to teach them, oh yes, this is a family, families can have two mommies, that sort of thing. So I just basically, you know, published the information about what this school district was doing, and parents were seeing this come home with their kids, and they started complaining to the school district about what their kids are being exposed to in school.
One of the responses, or part of the response, was essentially to declare that teaching transgenderism to preschoolers was somehow age appropriate. What did the school district say?
Right. So the school district issued kind of preemptively a statement, a public statement about their week, their LGBT Pride Week. And they twice in that statement says explicitly that they were sure that this curriculum was age appropriate for children in all the different grades. And then later at the school board meeting, that was coincidentally, there was a school board committee meeting during the same week that this was happening, and several dozen parents showed up to complain at that. And I believe it was the school board president who also said, you know, these materials are age appropriate. I mean, and parents can just compare that description to the description that I just gave about what kinds of things preschoolers were being shown. And I think it's pretty obvious that what they think is age appropriate and what not only a normal person, but even a person who had a very good understanding of age appropriateness, the two wouldn't match at all. So I think that really indicates that, you know, these educators really don't, I mean, either they're allowing their ideology to cloud their professional judgment or they have very bad professional judgment.
One of the elements that you detected in their response with respect to this was that they were using the word love when they really meant sex. And as a way of saying, you know, we're not talking about sex, we're talking about who loves who. What's your response?
Right. I mean, so really the important thing to understand, I mean, so I think part of their age appropriate sort of thing was, oh, but we're not talking to preschoolers about sex. But really, you can't talk about LGBT issues without talking about sex, because the only difference between an LGBT identity and everybody else, you know, is the kind of preferred sex. I mean, LGBT people are of all races, they are of all sexes, you know, they're of all nationalities. There is no other distinguishing factor between, you know, for their identity besides the type of sex that they, you know, or the type of sexual attractions that they have. And sexual attraction is really not an age-appropriate topic for 3 to 5-year-olds. And I don't even, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't even know at what age it is appropriate to talk about gay sex as opposed, you know, to heterosexual sex, right? Because in school, you know, there's obvious justification for talking about reproduction, but none of the alternative sexualities lead to reproduction. Anyway, so that's a whole separate conversation. But the point being that you really... So this curriculum was basically using the euphemism of love to say, oh, a lesbian is when two women love each other. But, you know, if you're a little girl hearing that and you think, oh, I love my mommy, that could be leading you to think I'm a lesbian because I love my mommy and she's also a girl like that. And every woman, you know, obviously that's ridiculous. You know, loving your mother doesn't make a female a lesbian, right? So what they're really trying to do is use a euphemism, and all it ends up doing is really confusing kids and basically telling them lies.
This response wherein they say this isn't really sex education or an attempt at sex education, you say this is an attempt on the part of the school board to skirt the law with respect to who can opt out.
Right. So in most of the school districts and states that have been doing curriculum like this, and I think it's really important to note that Illinois has just made a law this summer that requires all public schools in the entire state to teach some version of LGBT, you know, information through history classes starting this next summer in July 2020. So we're not talking about one isolated crazy school district. We're talking about something that's going to be statewide very soon and is spreading, you know, regardless of whether states mandate it like Illinois has. And then when these sorts of laws or policies or just school districts adopting this sort of gender identity instruction, they typically very explicitly are careful to not link it to sex education, which, as I said a minute ago, is completely bonkers, because the only thing you could classify LGBT instruction under is sex education, because it's all about a different form of sexual activity. But the reason that they are delinking that, regardless of, you know, the fact that it is unfair to do so, is because many states have special protections or special rights that are granted to parents legally through the legislature, allowing them, you know, extra abilities to do things like opt out, to see the curriculum before their kids, to be able to basically have informed consent to what kids are learning in sex ed, because those are obviously sensitive topics. So the activists that are pushing this kind of LGBT spectrum sorts of instruction are deliberately doing an end run around those state laws, because they explicitly do not want parents to see. In fact, I had somebody, you know, tell me on Twitter, I think it was this morning, it's really good that school districts are doing this, because then, you know, the kids whose ignorant parents won't expose them to this kind of stuff get, you know, a look at, you know, the real world and what it's like. So that's kind of the mentality coming from the side of people who are pushing this on kids.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion. We're talking about an Illinois school district responding to parental complaints about an LGBTQ curriculum for preschoolers. Stay tuned. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor in 2020.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an Illinois school district responding to parental complaints about an LGBTQ curriculum for their preschoolers. Joy Pullman is our guest. Joy, how did the school board respond to religious objections?
This was another really interesting thing, and by interesting, I mean extremely ignorant. The basic response from several administrators in this school district was, none of this has anything to do with religious issues at all. This is purely, a diversity, and basically, I can't mimic the sort of language used, but they basically, said very clearly, we don't think this instruction has anything to do with religion. And I just said a second ago that that's extremely ignorant because every single religion has something to say about the proper uses of sex. I mean, every single religion in the entire world has something to say about what is good, what is wrong, what is ethical, how we should engage in it, so on and so forth, because it's such an important thing to human existence. And people misuse it all the time. So for someone to say that really indicates that they don't know anything about religion.
You say that there were some deliberate attempts to keep parents in the dark about various aspects of this curriculum and its implementation. What are you talking about?
So I got my information about, the local discussion of this and the local school board meeting from this local newspaper called the Evanston Roundtable. And the Evanston Roundtable reported that at the school board meeting where parents were complaining about this instruction, the school board members discussed not only was it very clear that they were not going to allow families to opt out of this instruction, they said explicitly, this is part of our instruction in the school district. No one is allowed to opt out. And when they heard reports of principals allowing kids to, work on puzzles, read, basically be excused from the classes, they said that they were going to make sure that that didn't happen again next year. And they also discussed basically hiding the time, literally hiding what time the instruction occurred each day of the week so that parents could not come in, as a couple of parents had done, come in, pick up their kids from school, and then return them after that particular lesson was over.
So in other words, not only would you not be able to opt out, you wouldn't even be able to know until after the fact when your children were being taught this.
Well, and not only that, so that's just talking about this particular week of, LGBT-themed instruction. But also when I was reading through the curriculum, it contained some explicit instructions to teachers to incorporate the books, recommendations, the videos, the things that it had in the curriculum throughout the rest of the school year. So it's a deliberate attempt to kind of marble this sort of political indoctrination throughout the curriculum, in classes such as reading. And like I mentioned earlier, Illinois' new mandate that public schools all teach this is applying that requirement actually to history classes.
So as we said before, when we were talking about this, not only are you explicitly forbidden from opting out, but they make it almost practically impossible for you to opt out because it's incorporated into the curricula of completely unrelated subjects.
Right, right, like reading. And in fact, one teacher who had worked on the curriculum, the local newspaper reported, complained to the school board about those principals having basically told parents when the class would be so they could take their kids home. And she said, you know, are we going to do this for everything? Are we going to do this for when people don't, you know, like what is taught in science class? You know, well, which I get her point. There is, you know, there is definitely a point about, you know, which how much. When I was growing up, my dad used to say to me, he used this kind of grotesque analogy, and I'd always be like, Dad, you're so gross. But he would say, you know, if there's just a little bit of poop in these brownies that you're eating, you know, how much poop are you, you know, would you allow in them before you'd not eat them anymore? I'd be like, well, no, none. You know, but there is kind of a question about, you know, how much of this sort of garbage in marbled throughout their, you know, curriculum parents are willing to stand and put up with in exchange for presumably, you know, the other stuff they think their kids are getting out of these schools. But she also definitely had a point, you know, in that respect, you know, you kind of a school isn't really something that you can kind of take one part of it and leave the rest, you know, what they teach. In these classes, even if your kid doesn't attend it that week, all the other kids went to these classes. They're talking about it. They're having these assumptions in their heads. They're sending Snapchat, you know, pictures about what was shown on the screen and so forth. Opting out, I think, is a pretty lame. I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose, but it's not a lot better than nothing.
Tell us about this, well, at least one unnamed teacher and their reaction to parental complaints.
Right. So this was another interesting thing about the Evanston Roundtable report. So the teacher who made these complaints was not named in the report, and usually in newspaper convention, I mean, I graduated through a journalism program at my college. So I was taught in my journalism classes that when you use an anonymous source, you don't name someone, you're supposed to give a reason why. And this paper didn't do that. So I don't have any idea why this teacher wasn't named, but it might have something to do with her complaints to the school board that this teacher helped write this curriculum that parents were complaining about. And as part of that, she said, you know, they had distributed the contact information for local people, I assume, who are maybe leaders of LGBT activism, for people who had questions. And she said she said to the school board that the contacts that they got made them feel completely unsafe and afraid, you know, like they didn't even want to go into the streets of their own town. Which is a very strong claim to make, but the newspaper didn't report any evidence that this was the case. It didn't quote any of these emails. It didn't, you know, talk about whether any, and neither did the teacher, about, you know, whether there were any credible threats, whether these were, who knows, random people from all the way across the country, or where they were, you know, local and specific people, you know, who showed up on their doorstep. There was no information about that. Just this person saying, and this is a common thing among, and again, you know, obviously, I don't think anyone should be attacked for if I disagree with them. But, you know, I think if someone makes a claim about that they should substantiate it with evidence, because it's a serious one to make.
Given that this school board reacted in what I think you would probably agree is the worst possible way to legitimate concerns that parents have about what's being taught their preschoolers, and they're not going to permit these parents to opt out without some sort of penalty to the child, what should parents in this situation be doing, Joy?
I mean, I honestly will be making plans to move my kids out of that school district, but I mean, into a better school. So if you have to downsize on your house to pay private tuition, you'd be looking for a new job in another state that doesn't have the political climate that it requires, you know, anti-Christian instruction in public schools, openly anti-Christian instruction. I mean, that is literally what I would be doing right now, because I view this issue as not really a side issue. I think really the fact that the public school establishment in the United States is willing to allow this kind of instruction in schools, and typically without any public debate, and when there is public debate, they just do it as a pro forma thing. So it's just to like let people get their little bees out of their bonnet and we'll go back to doing whatever we wanted, you know, regardless of what they said to us, kind of thing. There's never been a situation that I have seen, and I follow this issue closely, where a local school has responded to parent and taxpayer complaints by, you know, getting rid of this junk. And so the fact that the system is not willing to protect kids from this extremist and you know, and we also know that the research shows that the disintegrate, like the sexual immorality separates people from the faith. It is, you know, one of the leading ways that people lose their faith is to start sexual sins. And that relates, you know, it relates, of course, to divorce, which has effects on the kids and tends to erode their faith and their commitment to the church. But that also relates to, I don't think straight people get out of this for sure. It's not just the gay issue. But I think this is an existential issue for Christians, and the fact that our public schools are wrong on this should make us really rethink what else are they getting wrong. If they cannot get this, what should be really obvious, boys are boys, girls are girls, preschoolers shouldn't be taught about sex, you know, that has implications for their credibility on everything else that they do inside those walls. And it's time to start seeing that and acting, you know, to protect our kids and to protect not just our personal kids, but also our fellow parishioners' kids. You know, the people who are growing up in our churches, the children who are within our churches deserve to be taught and protected and given the best, because they're God's own children. They shouldn't be given leftovers and garbage and warmed over political indoctrination that will erode their faith.
Is there any doubt in your mind, with about a minute here, Joy, that the goal of this kind of reaction on the part of the school district is to tell parents, pull your kid out, or keep your kid in, but shut up?
Pretty much. And I think it's a little bit of a we dare you, because I looked in some of the federal stats about this school district. It is, you know, a really nice rootsy suburb that spends lots of money on its kids. So it's probably one of those that people move to because it's one with good schools. The people, you know, in that school district, on average, I think the average household income is $120,000, which is like twice the national average. So this is a really nice place to live. The people probably think their public schools are great. So they probably think people are just going to have to swallow it, that they're going to think that their kids' chance at getting into college or getting a good SAT score, they're going to scare them with that and say, look, you want this? Well, you got to buy the rest of our package that we're offering you. You know, if your kids want entrance into the club of middle class, upper middle class people that you're a part of, well, the price is basically their soul.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion and a recent column titled 6 Crazy School District Responses to Parents Mad About LGBT Indoctrination of Preschoolers. You'll find a link to her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we will continue our series, Introductions to the Books of the Bible, will be in the book of Acts. That, of course, is authored by Luke. How do we know that Luke authored this book? And what does it tell us about how the Word of God spread after Jesus' ascension, after the disciples are sent into all the world? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest and answer those questions next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.